Hi everyone, I'm Jerry Bunkowski and welcome to the Racing Beat Podcast. On today's episode, a big one, the biggest race of the year, the biggest race in the world, the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500 this Sunday at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Michael Eubanks and I will break down what's going to happen in this race, who we pick, who we think are the favorites, who we think are the dark horses. So stay tuned and get ready to start your engines on the Racing Beat Podcast right here on the Believe Podcast Network. Welcome back to the Racing Beat Podcast. I'm Jerry Bunkowski, joined by one of my best friends and a great IndyCar writer. He does a lot of stuff for our Substack blog, Michael Eubanks, out there in Oregon country, as far removed from Indianapolis as you can find, but still he really covers the series very, very well. He worked with me at NBCSports.com's Motorsports Talk section for a year and a half. Really did a good job there. Mike, it's great to have you joining us today. And we're going to do a lot more of these podcasts going forward. You know, we really want to try and make it a little bit more humorous, a little bit more personable, a little bit more not so much great interviews. We're going to have a little fun with this one. And, you know, this is a great opportunity to do this because we're going to talk about the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500, which is this Sunday down in Indianapolis. It's going to be an interesting race, to say the least. I mean, you've got a lot of guys who are looking to make history. Elio Castroneves is looking to his fourth. He would become the fourth driver to do so, along with AJ Foyt, L. Unser, and Rick Mears. And he has been trying to do that for the last several years. This actually may be his last shot at that. So, you know, I think that if anybody's a sentimental favorite, it would be Elio. You've also got Juan Pablo Montoya back in the race for the first time since 2017. Didn't qualify very well. He's down around 24th, but he's hoping to win his third Indy 500. And you've got a lot of young drivers that have done really well thus far this season. And even going back into last season, you know, you've got Colton Herta, Patricio Award, Alex Palou, I mean, among others. So this is really going to be a race I think a lot of people are going to remember. So first of all, thanks very much for joining us and taking the time here. And I guess the best place to start off with, Michael, is the easiest question. How do you kind of handicap this race? You know, who do you see as being, you know, in your mind, one of the top drivers to win, who's maybe a surprise winner, who may be a surprise loser? Tell me about your thoughts about how this race is going to shake out.
Sure. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to be on. And secondly, you know, this field for this year's race is just stacked with talent from top to bottom. So, I mean, really, there's a lot of guys that I think could win this race. But, you know, if I was a betting man, it would be hard to not put the money on the guy who's sitting in P1. Right. Scott Dixon, I mean, he's obviously the greatest driver of this of my lifetime. Who knows, he may very well be the greatest ever once he hangs it up. But I mean, you know, he's a defending series champion. He's already got a win under his belt at Texas, and he's the pole sitter at Indy. Just all the Ganassi cars so far this month have been fast. All of them are in the top nine. You know, if I had to bet, it would probably be Scott Dixon in victory lane. If not him, maybe one of his teammates.
What about guys who are coming into this race with a lot of momentum, you know, obviously have a big name recognition and may not do very well? I mean, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that, but, you know, there has been some, there's been some concern for some of the drivers, especially how they qualified. I mean, Juan Pablo Montoya, like I mentioned a moment ago, you know, he's back for his first time since 2017. He's down there in 24th position. Will Power, you know, he had a real struggle, you know, just to make the field, and he's starting 32nd in the middle of the last row. You know, you got Simona DiSilvestro, who, you know, it's a great storyline on the team, you know, the all-female team that she's got going there. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that just, I just really have a question mark. Can they really be serious? I mean, I'm not serious, but I mean, serious contenders for the win. I mean, you look at the probably the back half of the field from about probably about the seventh or sixth row back, there's some guys there that have been struggling, and I just don't know how they're going to wind up. I mean, you look at a guy like a Graham Rahal starting 18th, James Hinchcliffe 17th, I'm sorry, 16th rather. And then the one of the biggest surprise, the top qualifying Team Penske driver is a brand new rookie. This is only the second oval track he's ever raced upon, and that's Scott McLaughlin. You know, he did very well in his first two races on ovals at Texas, you know, the doubleheader they had a few weeks back. But he's the top qualifying Penske driver. Joseph Newgarden qualified 21st. Excuse me, Simon Pagenaud, he qualified 26th. And, of course, Will Power is 32nd. So, I mean, looking at all those names in the back half of the field, who does not, in your opinion, have that good of a chance of winning? I mean, who would really be a true surprise to win given how poorly they qualified?
Well, I can't believe I'm saying it this year, but I think it would really be a surprise if a Penske car won the race, which, I mean, that's unheard of. Every single year we come to Indy, we always expect Roger to get another baby Borg. But, this year it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, which, is odd because, in years past, Penske has maybe been slow, to start the month, but, just always assume, it's still early in May, they're not showing what they got. They're not flexing all their muscles. They got a couple good guards still in their hands that they haven't played yet. But this year they just something's off. They've been really slow. I mean, McLaughlin's definitely the surprise of the bunch, having qualified 17th, being the best Penske driver in only his second oval race. Mm-hmm. That's quite odd. Newgarden starting 21st, Pagenaud 22nd, and of
26th for Pagenaud.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, 26th. Will Power starting 32nd. And, there was a point where we were wondering if he was going to even make the race. That's unbelievable. It's been a long time since Penske has failed to qualify. And even, in last place, Simone Di Silvestro, obviously it's not a Penske car per se, but I know that they did have, some help in preparing that car. So, all the Penske cars aren't doing well this year, and it's going to be really tough for one of them to, make its way to victory lane. They're going to need a lot of good luck on their side.
I was looking at the results from last year's 500. Obviously, nobody attended that race because of COVID. But, I looked at the qualifying, and, for the most part, it was kind of almost a repeat, this year's qualifying, it was almost a repeat of last year. The Penske cars did not qualify well last year at all. And really the only guy who had a decent finish was Newgarden, who finished fifth, and everybody else finished outside the top 10. So, when your boss owns the series, he owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, he has 18 wins as an owner at the 500. I agree with you that it's very odd that the Penske cars have been off, but if any day is going to see them, rise to the occasion, it's got to be Indianapolis. I mean, I know going into the month of May, Newgarden, many people were saying this is going to be his year. And he came so close back in, 16, I think it was, when he was with Ed Carpenter Racing. This could be his year. He wants that Indy 500 trophy, or, his name on the trophy, more than anything in the world, because both Pagenaud and Will Power have won it. McLaughlin, I think, is definitely, from what we've seen so far, I don't think he'll win this year, but I think that if he stays out of trouble, I think you could probably see a top 10 out of McLaughlin. I know that's saying a lot for a rookie, and especially the first time ever at Indy, but he really has handled the racetrack very well in practice and in qualifying. And again, I think that I don't want to say that Team Penske's been hiding their cards or what they can do. But yeah, this is Team Penske. They have what it takes, and they know what it takes to win. So I won't be surprised to see anybody on that team, win this race. I'll tell you this though, Mike. Will Power, he is such a bound and determined individual, probably more so, I think, than anybody other than maybe a Dixon on the series. I mean, everybody is, but, he's the kind of guy that kind of takes things to the next level. And right now, he's ticked off. He's ticked off at himself. He's ticked off at his performance. He's ticked off at, having to wait literally to the last minute before he, would secure a spot in the qualifying field. I think that that's going to drive him. I think it's going to, definitely inspire him. And when you see a Will Power who's, picked off, inspired, motivated, he's going to be a very dangerous guy for the other 32 drivers to compete against. Again, Power is just so motivated to show that it was such a freak occurrence, a fluke, if you will. I mean, it was since 1995, 26 years ago, that, we saw a Penske car not qualify for the race, and Will Power did not want to be that guy. So, I mean, your thoughts about Will Power, and we'll get back into more about Team Penske in a minute, but I mean, your thoughts about Power, even though he's in the last row, middle of the last row, and unfortunately, that's one of the worst spots to be in, because if there is a mid-pack race or a wreck, rather, he's going to be in some serious trouble if the packs are really running super tight. Where do you go if there's a big wreck in front of you? So tell me your thoughts about Will Power for this race.
Well, I've got to tell you, the last few days, I've really been thinking about this. You are correct. Will Power is somebody who, when is in a slump, can kind of get PO'd at maybe himself or how things are going, and that does really motivate him to perform well. And when you talk about guys who at Indy really want to perform well, and if they're not, if they're not having a race go the way they want, you can tell how just by the way they drive, about how intense they are. He's kind of reminding me of Alexander Rossi. Last few years, you've seen a lot of emotion out of him at Indy. You can definitely tell how much he wants to win this race. And I don't know if everybody forgot about this. In 2018, Rossi qualified 32nd. And over the course of the race, he made his way up through the field and ended up finishing fourth. So I think we could see something like that out Power. I still don't think he can win the race. I still think that's way too far back of starting position, but, it is 500 miles. And I think if he plays his cards right and maybe has a little bit of luck on his side, he could get within a top 10 or even top five.
What about, you mentioned Rossi, he wins the 100th anniversary of the 500 back in 2016. I was there. I remember that race very clearly. It just seems though that the last couple of years, and I'm not just speaking specifically about the 500, I'm talking about in general rate, overall with the IndyCar series, Rossi's just not been the Rossi of 2016 or 2017, even 2018 for that matter. He's just not been the dominating type. And you can see the frustration many times, especially 19 and 20, 2019, 2020, when he didn't fare very well, not just at Indianapolis, but other races in total. Has Alexander Rossi lost a step, if you will, or, has his being upset at not succeeding wound up being a detriment to him that's keeping him back? I mean, he's always been a very laid back kind of guy. Don't get me wrong. He's very soft spoken. He is kind of got a very dry wit and a sense of humor about him, which is good, but he just seems like when adversity happens, he really lets it eat it up inside of him. And, how does he overcome that kind of thing to really do well and maybe win a second time at Indy?
Yeah. I mean, there are some guys that, when they're in a slump, it really gets to them. And, Rossi may very well be a guy like that. I really think what could boost his confidence would be a few good finishes. He is starting 10th, so he definitely has a chance to have another good run. And who knows, he could possibly win it. That I think that would definitely relieve a lot of stress. But, yeah, I really don't know what the deal is with him. You know, it seems just like 2 years ago we thought he would be the next American champion in IndyCar, and unfortunately things haven't been going the way as I'm sure he would like it. You know, Colton Herta has kind of stepped up to the plate to become the face of Andretti Autosport. But, you know, I think if Rossi can get a good finish this weekend and have some more, going forward, I think he can turn things around. But, you see in all sorts of types of motorsports or even other sports, sometimes when you're in a slump, that really gets to you.
Exactly. You know, one thing about this weekend, and we're taping this on Tuesday, the 25th, I didn't want to ignore this, and we'll get back a little bit more to Sunday's race in a moment, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about tomorrow, Wednesday. You know, again, we're taping this on Tuesday. So Wednesday, the 26th of May, is a very significant day in IndyCar history in the sense that it was 25 years ago on Wednesday, the 26th, that we saw the Indy 500 take place, and it was the first of, 12, I think, years in a row where CART, was not a true member or, participant in the 500. I mean, there was the split between the Indy Racing League and CART. CART had the US 500 in Michigan at Michigan International Speedway the same day as the Indy 500, drew 120,000 people, which was very, very good. But, I've been doing quite a few stories about both the US 500 as well as the Indy 500 from 1996 for Auto Week. And I just, looking back at that time and that history, I mean, that's actually right around the time you were born. Now I think about it, looking back,
I'm a youngin', Jerry.
That's right. You're a youngin' and I'm an oldin'. That's right. Exactly. But, you look back at that race, and even today, even after the merger in 2008, we've been to, a reunified series for the last, 13 years now it's been. There's still a lot of people that think about that break, that split, and they don't even want to talk about it. You know, a lot of the bigger names just do not want to talk about it, even though, we're on a very good path right now. IndyCar is, it's definitely charting upwards in terms of popularity. The fans, I think we're going to get about 200 some thousand people at Indy, even with the COVID situation. TV ratings are starting to climb. Even though you were just a little infant, if you will, back then, that race just made so much impact upon the motorsports fan in the U.S. And back then, IndyCar was kind of the king of motorsports. The CART series was the king of motorsports back then. And when the split came with the startup of the IRL, that allowed NASCAR to move in to become the dominant motorsports series in the country. Where do you think this, where we're at right now, the fact that people are still talking about it and still may have some hard feelings that they don't even want to talk about, the reunification and where we are right now, what does that say? I mean, will we ever get over that fact that, it was just such a very difficult time. It was a difficult Indy 500. Yeah, it was sold out, but, people who had bought tickets way in advance were looking to see, Michael Andretti, Mario Andretti, all the big names of racing, and they weren't there because of the split, at Indianapolis. And a lot of them wouldn't come back. I think the first CART driver that came back to the 500, I believe, was in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. So, at least 5 years went by without a CART driver in the 500. Just talk a little bit about that race in particular, in 96, and, what it – and the other thing, too, is one other thing I wanted to mention before I turn it back over to you, is that race also ended the IndyCar – I'm sorry, the IRL, the Indy Racing League's initial season. There were only three races in that season. And, both Buzz Calkins and Scott Sharp shared the championship, but a three-race championship. I mean, we've heard, you know, even three-race playoffs, but let alone a three-race championship, if you will. But just your thoughts about what you've read about the 96 500, the 96 season overall. What are your thoughts about that as we go forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was too young to, you know, even remember that. I was alive. I was just like a year and a half, 2 years old. But no, I've read a lot about the split. It is a topic that greatly interests me. So I guess I'll be buying a copy of Indy Split soon.
It's the book by John Horowitz. And this past episode of the Racing Beat podcast, we had John on, and it was really a very enlightening discussion. It's still, you know, you could still listen to the podcast as well too. So that's what Michael's referring to, is Indy Split, the book that was written by John Horowitz, which really capitalizes everything that led up to the split, as well as, you know, the fallout over the last several years. But anyway, I'm sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there though. Go ahead.
No, I definitely got to say, if you're listening to this and you want to learn more about the split, I would definitely recommend checking that podcast out. But no, the 96 Indy 500, if you had to pick, you know, the top 10 races that forever changed motorsport, I would definitely put that in there. It basically began a 12-year battle for the control of the sport. And, it was definitely a bloody battle. Had the IRL never been started, had the US 500 never happened, I think IndyCar racing would be very different. Perhaps we would have, different drivers. There may very well be different tracks that are still on the schedule or still even exist in the case of places like Nazareth. Careers will have changed. There would be different teams. It definitely changed the sport. I do personally feel that even by, 94, when Tony George first announced the IRL, and 96, when the series actually first took off, NASCAR was really gaining on IndyCar, so I definitely believe it would have been possible for NASCAR to eventually eclipse IndyCar if it had remained one series. But I definitely think they would be both a lot more closer in popularity. We may have very well seen a lot more, drivers not pursue a NASCAR career and still try to race in IndyCar. I know the point of the IRL was to attract more American drivers, but let's get real. If you were an American driver, in the late 1990s, would you rather race a, 10, 12 race IRL schedule in front of 15,000 people outside of Indy? Or would you want to go to Winston Cup, race 30 or so races, become a multimillionaire, race in front of 100,000 people? I think the choice is obvious. And that's why, Tony Stewart ended up going cup racing. And that's a decision I'm sure he does not regret at all. But the current state of the sport now that it's been over a decade since reunification, I'm sure there might be a few people who have, wounds that are still healing, but the mood is definitely a lot more positive. The sport is on the upswing. It's going to take a lot of time to rebuild the fan base. And to be honest, this series probably will never be as popular as CART was in the 90s. But I definitely think there is a lot more room for improvement. I don't think we'll ever pass NASCAR, but I think the gap can certainly be closed. A lot of people have called the current IndyCar series CART 2.0. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of agree with that, because a lot of the same teams are back in the sport, Penske, Ganassi, Andretti, which of course at that time was Green Racing. A lot of classic venues have returned. I mean, going over the last 2 years, places like Road America, Portland, Laguna Seca, tracks that were staples of the kart schedule have returned. Mm-hmm. We got a really good field with both domestic and international talent. So I think IndyCar's on the headed in the right direction. Now it's just, we got great drivers. How do we make them household names again? Yeah, we got great tracks. How do we fill them to capacity? We got classic teams like Penske and Ganassi and all the other ones. How do we, and pretty much every team, I believe, has some sort of full-time sponsor or some sort of sponsorship, but how do we bring that household names, the Budweisers, the Targets, how do we get sponsors like that back in the sport? There's a lot of work to do, but the foundation has definitely been set. So it'll be interesting to see where the series goes in the next few years.
All right, let's get back to the Indy 500 that's running this Sunday, May 30th, down in Indianapolis. The weather looks good. It doesn't look great, though. We're taping this on Tuesday, so the weather could change by Sunday. But from everything I've read, it's likely there will not be any precipitation of note, but the temperatures are going to be cool. They're saying a high of 72, which may be a little chilly for the fans in the stands, but from a racing standpoint.
72 degrees chilly, Jerry?
Well, hear me out. A lot of fans will bring windbreakers with them or something, because by the end of the afternoon, it'll start getting chilly probably. But the point I'm making is you couldn't ask for better weather for race cars, for racing. I mean, if you have a green flag start and the temperatures are, let's say, 70, 71, 72, that is going to provide probably the most optimal conditions that we've seen at the Indy 500 in many, many years. Because the cooler the temperature is outside, the cooler the racetrack is, the better the traction, the better the adhesion, the better for drivers to move around. I think this could be a classic IndyCar 500 race that people are going to talk about for a long time. And it's going to start basically with cooler temperatures. Do you see what I'm saying with this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am keeping my fingers crossed for a very competitive race, because got a lot of talent in this field, and I definitely think they could put on a show.
We've talked about who we think is going to win, the favorites, the guys that may not do so well. What we haven't really talked about are the young guys. We've mentioned about Colton Herta. We've mentioned about Pato O'Ward, Alex Palou, Rinus VK. I mean, there are a lot of young guys that can win this race. I see a little bit of similarity between this year's race and 2016, the 100th anniversary, because that's when
Alexander Rossi.
Thank you. I had a Freudian slip there. Alexander Rossi wins as a rookie, and he did it in a fairly convincing fashion. Yeah, there was fuel mileage situations. He played the game perfectly and got the win. There's always fuel mileage issues at the end of the 500, but these young guys, these young guns. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised to see a guy like Colton Herta or Pato O'Ward or VK or anybody like that win. I mean, of the young crop, who do you think has the best chance of winning?
Ooh, that's a really tough one, because they all seem to have a lot of talents. The two young guys with Mr. Dixon in row one, I definitely could see winning. Herta, I mean, he's got a lot of talents. He damn near won the pole until Dixon came out to the track. Rinus VK, he also obviously has a lot of talent, having won the Grand Prix 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And plus he's in an ECR Chevy, which always, that's a good seat to be in when you're at the Indy 500.
Well, let's not forget Ed Carpenter, the team owner. I mean, he almost always does very well there. He just has never been able to put together a win. I mean, from a sentimental standpoint, yeah, we're talking about the young guys, but Ed Carpenter, man, what would that mean to have a guy like him who's been knocking on the door for, what's it been, 15, 16, 20 years, whatever it's been, to finally win? I would love to see that. I mean, that place would go crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Ed Carpenter is definitely a favorite at the Brickyard. This team, definitely puts all of its efforts into winning the race. And if he won, I wouldn't be surprised if he just retired on the spot, because he accomplished his goal. Ed Carpenter, obviously his stepfather is Tony George. So mm-hmm. he has basically spent his entire life around the Speedway. He's a native Hoosier. He graduated from Butler University. He's very familiar with the Indianapolis area and, of course, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It would be, I'm sure, a lifelong dream for him to win at the Indy 500. So
right, exactly.
I definitely would not count him out.
Okay. Mike, in conclusion here, you know, we've had a great podcast here, a lot of thoughts, you know, surprises, disappointments of what's going on, what may go on Sunday. Where do you see the Indy 500 go from here? I mean, you know, this will be Roger Penske's first 500, official 500, if you will, with fans in the stands. When he bought the series at the end of 2020 or 2019, rather, he obviously didn't have fans in 2020. They had to move the race date from its typical Memorial Day weekend slot to middle of August. This is going to be very pivotal for the race for Penske, Roger Penske, for his organization, both, you know, on the IndyCar side as well as, you know, Team Penske. Where do you see this all going in terms of the Penske legacy? I mean, I would love to see a Team Penske driver win, especially a guy like a Will Power if he comes from behind, or McLaughlin. I mean, the new kid on the block. I mean, I'd love to see that. But where do you think the 500 goes from here now that we'll have the first through 500 with a lot of fans in the stands? It may not be total capacity, but, hey, I'll take 200,000 fans, any day if you can't get 300,000 in there.
I guess to put simply, the future of the Indy 500 is very bright. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like in a few years down the road, Roger Penske will definitely be looked as the man who helped navigate the Speedway and the sport as a whole through a very difficult year in 2020. Before the pandemic already, the 500 was seeing renewed interest. Obviously, that massive sellout crowd in 2016 for the 100th running, mm-hmm. and very respectable crowds in the years after. Guys like Fernando Alonso coming over to participate in the event. It truly is the greatest spectacle in racing, and now that the sport is in good hands and is slowly rebuilding, I think slowly the masses are being reminded of what originally drew them to the great race. So the future, I definitely see large crowds, large entry lists, and big name drivers returning. I mean, we already got a bunch of great drivers at the Speedway, but, you know, more interest from the Formula One and NASCAR crowd.
The only way I think that this race could get any more attention and notoriety is if AJ Foyt or Mario Andretti both came back to drive. We know that's not going to happen, but I mean, it's a great thought to have, though. You know what I'm saying? So, but Mike, listen, thank you ever so much for taking the time here on the Racing Beat. Really enjoyed this podcast. And we're going to do some more of these things. We've talked to some people, both at the Believe Podcast Network, which is kind of our home. And we're going to do a little bit more interaction podcasts going forward, as well as the regular podcast we have with guests as well. So we're working on some other new guests coming up for the month of June. So stay tuned for that. We got a lot going, and we've been kind of on a hiatus with the Racing Beat, our blog on the Substack platform. We're going to start kicking that back into gear this week and next week, and looking forward to doing that as well. And I know, Mike, you're going to be right in the middle of that as well with me. So I appreciate all your help and all your time, and great insight as always on the IndyCar side. And we'll be talking to you soon then, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again, Jerry, and let's have a good race this weekend.
Exactly. All right, that's this weekend's edition of the Racing Beat.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with more next week right here on the Racing Beat. Thanks to Michael Eubanks for his insight on the Indy 500. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Have a great race, and we'll take care. We'll talk to you later. Take care.